in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here.
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
What's up, Austin?
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
You see him with his kids. He's crying with his kids.
Gotta be careful.
Jordan Spieth came over, patted him all on the head, and said, "Oh, later, my championship."
Whatever you guys say,
out
cooch.
Of here, cooch.
So, like my wife calls her thing her cooch. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
What?
That's the
so
term.
Whenever you say cooch, I'm like,
she got a cooch bag? Like, go to the store,
that's
the mall?
That's Gucci.
Oh, not a coochie bag.
Like
okay.
Her,
ha ha la la.
Hoo-ha.
They have a lot of names for those things.
Cooch.
Cooch. They kept saying it all day long.
Cooch. I know. I'm like, whoa. So
they were like, I feel sorry for a cooch. That's what they were saying.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
You think we've gotten too radical with our message? Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory.
We'll get you a baseball trade deadline update, 6 days out. Coming up this hour, also going to get some insights on this latest commitment for the Texas Longhorns in the recruiting class of 2018 for Tom Herman. Talk some Texas football with a good friend of the show. Also, we'll have to ask the question, should Lucky Whitehead's name be Knucklehead or Unlucky Whitehead? Will be the debate.
Either way, it's unlucky or stupid.
Right, he's either stupid or...
Yeah.
Well, what he is today is unemployed, so he's been released. But we'll get you all those details. A lot to do. 447-3776. Also in the specs text line, 512-337-3776. On the way to the break, BK threw out a question on college football best rivalry. There was a website that ranked them, and we had some disagreement. This says Cal Stanford, LOL. That's a thing. This says Notre Dame has been a has-been program. Nobody cares about their rivalries anymore. Ooh, stinging comments.
Well, can't call Notre Dame a has-been program if you're a Texas football fan. Well, let's be honest. I mean, Notre Dame played in a national championship game 5 years ago.
Is that just 5 years
less
ago?
Less of a has-been than what Texas has been,
huh.
You know?
Yeah, well.
But I guess in terms of national championship wins is what this guy is probably going
for. And historic rivalry. I mean, that's why I put Army-Navy at the top number one. There's nothing else like it. And then we go from there. But we'll take your thoughts on who ranks where. We had a good quarterback debate last hour as well. But let's get you the news and get you caught up on everything happening on a Tuesday morning. Ticket City Update Desk Headlines brought to you by UBO Business Services, and it does start with college football. Still 39 days and a few hours till Tom Herman and his staff coach their first game at the 40 Acres, but they continue to crush it on the recruiting trail. Yesterday, the top-rated wide receiver in the state of Texas, Brennan Eagles of A. Leaf Taylor High School down in the greater Houston area, became the 14th commitment for the class of 2018. He's the third wide receiver of the class. He joins fellow Houston area prospect Alvonte Woodard and Kentucky speedster Rondale Moore, the 6'3", 215-pound outside receiver, ranked as the number 5 wide receiver in the country by 24/7 Sports and the number 29 overall prospect. He is ranked as a top 3 player in the state, according to Rivals. Now, speaking of Rivals and Rivals.com, according to their rankings, Tom Herman and his staff now have commitments, verbal commitments, from half of the state's top 10 prospects for the class of 2018. That includes its top-rated running back, wide receiver, cornerback, safety, and kicker. To the Dallas Cowboys, another day to their off-field incident involving America's team. Wide receiver Lucky Whitehead released yesterday by the Cowboys just hours after TMZ reported there was a warrant out for his arrest in Virginia. According to court records in Prince William County, Whitehead was arrested in Virginia, charged with misdemeanor petty larceny back on June 22nd. He then missed an appointed court date in early July. His agent says it's a mistaken identity situation that he wasn't even in Virginia at the time. We'll find out as this thing moves forward. Cowboys will have their second practice today in Oxnard, California. Texts report to their training camp today at the Greenbrier in White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia. Baseball, Jose Altuve added again last night. First place Astros continue to pound the baseball on the road, and so does Altuve. They opened up an interleague series in Philadelphia. Altuve had four hits for the second straight game, led an 18-hit attack as Houston beat the Phillies 13-4. Altuve improved his AL best batting average to .365 on the year. He's batting an astounding .507 in the month of July. And during a career-high 16-game hit streak, he's batting .528. One other number, Altuve batting .433 on the road this season. Houston as a team is averaging over 7 runs a game away from Minute Maid Park. Rangers got blanked by the Marlins last night, 4-0. The crafty lefty Adam Conley pitched 7 innings of shutout ball, and Giancarlo Stanton hit home runs number 31 and 32 to move into a tie for the Major League lead with Aaron Judge. Round Rock, nice win last night at Fresno, 7-5. Jurickson Profar, 3-for-4 with a home run. The Express now heads to Sacramento for a 9:05 first pitch tonight. You'll hear it right here on The Horn. And that's the news from your Ticket City update desk.
I'm still leaning towards Alabama-Auburn as that game is.
Well, this says a few years ago it's Alabama-Auburn, now it's Ohio State-Michigan. Yeah, obviously rivalries go with, you know, if you would suggest,
wins and how you're playing.
You know, 10
yes.
years ago it was Oklahoma-Texas. I mean, because it was Bob Stoops and Mack Brown and they had top five teams every
yep.
year. And, you know, it was really for big things. But historically, the greatest rivalry.
Well, yeah, whether the team is doing well or not, those games are still rivalry games. And that's why Texas A&M, if they would have kept playing this, it wouldn't have mattered what the records were. Every year, that's a huge game.
Well, that's why I would say that my top three are Army-Navy, because it's never going to change. It will always mean so much, and it's huge. And then Auburn-Alabama, because whether the teams are up or down, that is an in-state, just it is for blood, and it's for everything. In that state that doesn't have pro sports, and then Ohio State, Michigan. No matter, it's always going to be
true.
The third Saturday of November, it's always going to be for a lot at stake. And you know, so those are my top three. But obviously, there's a lot of great rivalries in college football. It's what makes college football so great, to say the least. So we'll take your thoughts on that. A couple of headline thoughts. We'll get to the Texas recruiting class. But remember when we were sitting in February. And opining that for the first time ever, or the first time that anyone can remember, the top 10 players in the state of Texas went elsewhere. Didn't stay in the state of Texas.
You're right.
Including 3 of the top 5 to Ohio State, right? And that was like, what? What just happened? A top 10 player didn't come and commit to a school in the state of Texas? That's crazy. They were going to Alabama. They were going to Ohio State. They were going out of state. Well, give Tom Herman this credit. In a mere 8 months, or 6 months from February, he's got commitments from 5 of the top 10.
Flip this thing so quick.
5 of the top 10 in the state. Now, again, there's 6 months to go before signing day, and those aren't official until they officially sign, but pretty impressive stuff for Tom Herman and his staff, who are selling a vision. Tom Herman connects with players, clearly, and so does his staff. This is when Tom Herman hired this staff. He said they had, you know, so many relationships with the high school coaches in the state of Texas, and you're seeing those pay off immediately here with Texas. Now, they got to go coach football for 39 days from now. 39 days and 3 hours from now, they'll kick off with Maryland and see how that goes. But so far, so good.
High school coaches are very influential in this state. And let me tell you, if you give them the opening to come and visit you and always can call you, when Charlie first got here, he didn't do those things. Now, he still overcame that stuff by recruiting because he did it with the parents. But in this state, when you get to the high school coaches in this school right here, it's awesome. It's an unbelievable feeling because you'll get the best players. You're going to get them.
Yeah. I mean, and Tom Herman was down at the coaches' convention yesterday. They're having the big coaches'
right.
school and coaches' convention.
He's speaking to them all.
He was one of the speakers and got a big bear hug from all the coaches. I mean, Charlie Strong had a different method of recruiting. I mean, in the state of Florida where he has made his bones for so long, it's not as much about the high school coaches as it is about the parents. And you know, you were in that state.
Right.
You still have to know the coaches. But the state of Texas –
it's different. It's high school coaches. Yeah,
I mean, that is a fraternity of coaches. Mack Brown knew that immediately because Daryl Royal made sure he understood that.
Yeah, you get those kids in Broward County and Dade County down there. It's you better get to the parents. You got to get to mom and dad,
whoever the leader of the family is.
Yeah, whoever it is, you got to get to them. And it's not so much the high school coaches.
Yeah, and in Texas, a little bit of a different animal. And for more insight on that, excited to bring on the show. I think he is at the coaches clinic and coaches school and coaches convention down in Houston from 24/7 Sports, our friend Jeff Howe. Jeff, how are you? Good morning.
Guys, I'm good. I'm actually up getting some breakfast and typing some notes out before I head back to the convention center this morning. But yes, I'm in the city of Houston right now.
City of Houston.
Yeah, Jeff, is it day two there or day three? Which day is it there for them?
Yeah, but technically it's day three. They had the coaches panel, the D1 coaches panel on Sunday, which kind of kicked things off, a full day yesterday, a full day today. And there'll be a couple things tomorrow, but today's really the day where everything kind of wraps up.
Yeah, well, and Tom Herman was down there speaking yesterday, right, and got a great reception from the Texas high school coaches. Speak to what we were just talking about before you jumped on with us.
Yeah, Aaron, I was one of the people that was sardine canned into that ballroom at the convention center, about 1,400 people in there. And, you know, he was talking some X's and O's. And you know, I've heard other Texas assistants in that realm, you know, where you're at a coaching clinic talking X's and O's. And I'll be honest, there's been times in the past, and I'm not just talking about the Charlie Strong regime, the regime before him, where things necessarily didn't go very well. You know, I think, you know, Bucky, you were talking about the importance of the high school coaches in Texas. I think a lot of these guys that know ball, you know, they can sniff things out if you're, you know, trying to, you know, sell them a bill of goods. And I think that's happened a time or two with Texas in the last probably 5 to 10 years. But, you know, between getting to hear Todd Orlando at the Angelo Football Clinic earlier this summer and getting to hear Tom Herman talk X's and O's, it was just good football talk. I think the coaches really appreciate that. And then he went into about an hour talking about the culture of the program and how, you know, Texas now, it's not like it was perceived to be at one point. It's a meritocracy. You get what you earn. Players are treated based on how they act. And, you know, I think it was really refreshing to hear about how he's instilling this culture and how he's going to get Texas turned around, basically by not missing on anything, by not leaving any stone unturned and paying attention to detail. And, you know, I think, guys, no matter what you talk about, that's kind of what I've taken from Big 12 Media Days and from Tom Herman's lecture yesterday. This is a staff that doesn't miss. They don't leave any stone unturned. They pay attention to detail. And you look at how many games Texas lost, especially last year, whether it's, you know, a bad snap or on a field goal, or, you know, a couple of years ago, guys not getting proper instruction on a coin toss. Those little things that have cost Texas in the past, in the past few years, I don't think those are going to be issues under Tom Herman. This is a staff that pays great attention to detail, and I think you'll see that on the field. One thing that really stood out, and this jives with what a Houston source told me last fall about a conversation that Tom Herman and Bob Stoops had. Tom Herman said after a U of H game, he had a coach call him the next day and say, in my 17 years here, I've never had a team that played harder or hit harder than your team that we just played yesterday. And I had a Houston source in the fall tell me that was a call that Tom Herman got from Bob Stoops after Houston beat Oklahoma last year, that Oklahoma in Bob Stoops' time had not played a team that played harder or hit harder than that Houston team did. So that's just kind of a taste of that intensity of what Texas fans can expect from Tom Herman once this thing really gets rolling.
Jeff Howe with us, 24/7 Sports, covering the Longhorns and the Longhorn Blitz podcast. Hey, Jeff, let me ask you about this Brennan Eagles. I mean, we were just talking about the recruiting class, 5 of the top 10 players and some rankings, and just, you know, top running back, wide receiver now. What does Brennan Eagles bring to the table when he signs in February, if he indeed does become a Longhorn?
You know, E, when you start hearing the name Roy Williams thrown around, comparing him to somebody, that's lofty praise. But you look at Brennan Eagles, and he's 6'3 and a half. He's 214 pounds. He ran a laser time, 4.51 40 this spring. Just all the physical tools. The kid just oozes physical talent. You know, the ceiling is high. And I started looking at wide receiver hauls that Texas has had, at least on paper, really going back to that 2000 class when you had B.J. Johnson, Sloan Thomas, Roy Williams, and Tony Jeffrey. You look at that old four group, you know, Jordan Shipley, Ramontz Taylor, Myron Hardy, George Walker. And then on paper, that 2010 group with Darius White and Chris Jones and Mike Davis. This group on paper is as good as any of those groups when you talk about having three guys with Brennan Eagles, Alvante Woodard out of Houston, Lamar, and Rondale Moore, a slot receiver out of Kentucky. Three guys that are legit national top 100 recruits. But Brennan Eagles rounds this thing out. He's the number 29 overall prospect in the country in the 24/7 Sports composite ranking. And again, you just look at the raw physical tools and you start thinking about guys like Roy Williams that were just raw physical freaks coming out of high school. It's not a stretch to put Brennan Eagles in that group as a raw athlete.
Well, they've got a lot of raw athletes when it comes to wide receivers, secondary guys. He is loading up on guys that are difference makers, not guys that just can catch the ball, but guys that can catch and run. And this will be great battles in the summertime. When these guys all get to campus, and over the next year or year and a half or so, when they all get to campus and they compete against each other at practice, this is going to be quite a wide receiver group, quite a secondary group. And the fact that the safeties that he has can go down and play cornerback, they got the long arms. They are kids. I mean, I've seen a couple of them play in high school that, I mean, the Stearns kid is – he's absolutely something special, and he can go. He can play wide receiver. He can play defensive back, cornerback. He's recruiting these type of athletes because I think their special teams are going to be exceptional too.
Yeah, Bucky, position versatility, especially with those DBs. You talk about Caden Stearns. You're talking a guy, whether you want to put him as a cover two safety, a single high, whatever, maybe even let him play some boundary corner, the length and the athleticism and the ball skills. I think with this DB group, I think the ball skills and the ability to force turnovers and create turnovers, that's something that Texas really hasn't had. And going back to the wide receivers, you talk about the competition. Think about this. This is a program that has not produced a guy that they signed out of high school on scholarship as an NFL draft pick at wide receiver since Jordan Shipley. He was the last guy. You know, Marquise Goodwin, coming out of high school, he was on a track scholarship and ended up being on football scholarship.
Right.
He wasn't initially recruited as a scholarship football guy. So this is a program, and it's not that Texas has been recruiting bad prospects. The guys just haven't been developed, quarterback situation, what have you. There's been a lot of different factors. But I think the fact that Tom Herman, he's got an offensive scheme. He knows what he wants. He knows the skill sets. He knows the skill set he wants at that Z receiver position. He wants a guy that can get vertical and stretch the field. He wants a dynamic guy who can make a difference in the quick passing game, in the run game, in the slot. He wants a guy at that X receiver position, which is probably where Brennan Eagles will be, a big body guy that can play into the boundary, win one-on-one battles. He knows what he wants, and I think that's been as much of a problem as anything at Texas is, you've been recruiting talented players, but what offense are you putting them in? And a lot of times it's been, at the end of the day, trying to fit square pegs into round holes. I don't think that's the case with Tom Herman. He and Drew Maringer know what they want at those offensive skill positions, and they've gone out and recruited it.
Jeff Howe is with us, Horns from 24/7 Sports. He's down in Houston for the Coaches Clinic. Wraps up today, Coaches Convention. All the high school coaches and coaches in the state of Texas there, along with Tom Herman. Hey, Jeff, let me ask you about when camp opens. Actually, let me ask you this, and we'll get into when camp gets going on Monday. But here's a text we got. It says, looks like we're getting a lot of great skill players. Where are the big uglies? We have had that debate, 14 players into this class, and you don't see many offensive and defensive linemen. Is that the next step for this staff between now and February to add some beef to this recruiting class?
Yeah, it's going to take Derek Wertheim and Oscar Giles to really, mine for some gems, because – honestly, in terms of top-end talent and depth on both lines of scrimmage, this is one of the weakest years I've seen since I've been doing this. I've been doing this since 2004. This is one of the weakest years for offensive and defensive linemen in the state that I can remember. Some people might say that's a product of spread offenses. I think it's just cyclical because you look at the last couple of years, the state's produced good offensive and defensive line prospects. I think that, you look at at what got lost in the Brennan Eagles news last night is Texas offered a kid from the Gulf Coast region, Vernon Jackson out of Bowling, who's got Alabama, TCU, Texas A&M offers. He plays quarterback on his high school football team, but I think this kid could be a high upside defensive end. That's the kind of kids Texas is going to have to go look after. You're going to have to get in the some of that Gary Patterson mindset of recruiting, which Gary Patterson would go find Jerry Hughes or Tommy Blake, guys that were high school quarterbacks, high school running backs that were good athletes, and then you turn them into defensive ends. I think Texas is going to have to do that. You look at offensive line, that's what they're doing. They recruited a big kid, Reese Moore, out of Seminole High School in West Texas, who plays tight end on his high school team. He's a really good basketball player. They're going to try to turn him into an offensive tackle, and maybe, like you did with Connor Williams, maybe you catch lightning in a bottle again. So that's the kind of stuff they're going to have to do. I think they're going to have to go out of state, and they're looking at out-of-state kids on both sides of the line of scrimmage. And I think at the end of the day, if you don't find late bloomers, you don't get them out of state, maybe you got to go grab a JUCO kid or two to fill out your depth chart. But, yeah, it's slim pickings right now in terms of top-end talent in-state on both lines of scrimmage.
Well, he'll do the same thing that Penn State used to do with their linebackers, finding those type of guys. I mean, Tom Herman's going to get the best athletes he can get and, put weight on them. And it's very similar to Gary Patterson. Gary Patterson, he'll make a guy that's 6'2", 215 pounds, and, 3 years later, guy's 245. And they're still great athletes, skilled athletes, a lot of strength. Tom Herman's just going to get, I think, the best players. He's not going to take any body just to say that I got this big kid out of whatever, he'll develop in 3 years. He's going to get good athletes, Jeff, and if they're not there, he's going to watch them develop in their senior years or junior years in high school, and he's not going to jump to the gun before he sees them play just to say he's got numbers.
Right, yeah, Bucky, I'll give you a kid to keep an eye on in that respect. DeMarvion Overshone, the kid Texas got out of East Texas at Arp High School.
Mm-hmm.
There are college coaches that have told our national recruiting guys at 24/7 Sports, they've said this kid reminds us of Sean Taylor in terms of his speed, his playmaking ability, his striking ability. He's 6'4", 200 pounds. Is he going to be a safety? Is he going to be a linebacker? I don't know where he ends up, but I do know he can run and he can hit, and Tom Herman's going to find a place, and Tyler Lando's going to find a place for this kid on defense somewhere, whether it's a box safety or a linebacker or whatever. They're going to put DeMarvion Overshown on defense and let him just go run and hit.
Well, he's going to end up being 225.
Yeah, probably a edge linebacker type player. And that's interesting that the deepest spots on the roster right now are wide receiver and defensive back and safety, and that's what they're loading up on the recruiting trail right now. They may have to go out of state to find some beef as they get going towards February. All right, Jeff Howe is with us, 24/7 Sports. And Jeff, let me ask you about camp opening on Monday. Tom Herman has said he feels pretty good about his first 20 or 22 guys on both sides of the ball, but they got to stay healthy. What are you hearing behind the scenes on who are guys that can come in and maybe surprise some folks and bring some depth, especially on the defensive front, key spots on the right side of the offensive line? Any reports on what you're hearing in these summer workouts of guys who can make an impact and provide depth for Texas?
Yeah, I think when you talk about the newcomers, I think on defense it starts with Gary Johnson, who, you know, I had a source tell me that based on what they've seen in workouts, Gary Johnson might be pound for pound the best athlete on the team. He was a guy. I asked Nashawn Hughes at Big 12 Media Days about Gary Johnson. He said he came in, they thought he was a receiver, how thin he was. And this is a kid that was shocked that he got three full meals a day coming from junior college, where you really don't get one meal guaranteed to you. So he's taking advantage of the training table. I don't know how big he's going to be once we see him on the field, but he's a guy the defensive staff is really excited about. I think Josh Thompson, a kid, you know, this Tom Herman has harped on this since spring ball. One of their big issues defensively is depth at cornerback. They feel good about the three juniors they've got with Chris Boyd, Devontae Davis, and Holton Hill. I think Josh Thompson's going to have a chance to come in right off the bat. He's had a great summer and maybe fill a role at corner. I think when you go to offense, the tight end situation is going to be one of the more fascinating position groups to watch, because while Reese Leto has had a big summer, he's not going to be around for the first two games. So do you get something out of Cade Brewer? When does Kendall Moore, the Syracuse transfer, come in, and what do you get out of him? And then I think running back, you know, even though Texas is deep at running back, I keep hearing really good things about Daniel Young, the kid out of Spring Westfield. Corby Meekins coached him in high school. He came in at 220 pounds. He ran right around at 11 flat 100 meters in the spring. So he's a kid people are excited about. So I think Gary Johnson, Josh Thompson, Reese Leto, Daniel Young, if you're talking about the newcomers, I think those are the guys to watch. And here's a number to really keep in mind when you're talking about defensive depth. Todd Orlando said they're going to cross train. He talked yesterday in a press conference here at the coaching convention. He said they're looking for about 18 to 20 guys that they really need to emerge defensively to play championship-level football. So they're going to cross-train guys. In other words, he doesn't want he's not concerned about being truly too deep. He just wants four or five linebackers, period, that can really go, four or five defensive linemen that can really go. So I think it's going to be interesting to see which guys cross-train at certain positions early in camp as Todd Orlando goes about finding those 18 to 20 guys he feels he needs to play a really good defense in the Big 12.
Yeah, Jeff, we talked with Todd last week on the show, and he said the same thing. That's what they're looking for, their best football players, best 22 to rotate through. Any prediction on a defensive tackle that may step up behind Puna Ford and those guys at the front that can provide some anchor? I saw a tweet of Chris Daniels looking like he's down 30 pounds or so. Is he a guy that can flash? Any other of those returning DTs that need to step up?
He is. He's a guy that I've got my eye on at that position is DeAndre Christmas. And you go back and watch some film last year, he was a guy that when he was in the game and on the field, he was making an impact. And, I asked Charlie Strong a couple times last fall, why doesn't Christmas play more? If you're looking for a defensive tackle to give you some splash plays and this kid's giving you production, why doesn't he play more? And didn't really get an answer, and it's going to be interesting to see what they do with him. He's a guy that they really don't know what they've got with Christmas, because he had a sports hernia midway through spring. It really limited what he could do. He had the surgery after spring ball to clean that up, so he should be good to go by the time camp starts. Where's his weight at? Those are going to be some questions about DeAndre Christmas. But in terms of talent, this was a guy that the previous staff felt, because he didn't play football as a junior, he was kind of a late bloomer. They felt they really got a steal of DeAndre Christmas and felt he was somebody that, had he played as a junior, might have been a national top 100 type kid. So I think if you're looking for one of those young defensive tackles to step up and provide you some depth and maybe be a guy that can give you some splash plays, keep in mind, this is the defense front. They're going to slant a lot. Todd Orlando's a big believer in creating a lot of movement up front. I think if you're looking for a guy to fit that bill, DeAndre Christmas might be that guy.
In the same vein as we talk about Malik Jefferson, and we find out what the real truth is about Malik Jefferson and Tom Herman and his staff and how they're treating all this, I'm starting to get the same feeling about Chris Warren, Tom Herman, the running back coach, and they continue every once in a while say, who? Who's this guy? He's always hurt. He's not. I got a funny feeling deep down inside their expectations and Chris Warren's expectations is he's going to get healthy. He's going to learn the proper way to with his pad level and everything else, and they're going to depend on him a lot. Behind closed doors, I got a feeling that they've talked to him a lot. The running back, you know, Stan has talked to him an awful lot. And I think Tom Herman the same way, but they don't say a lot of really great things about him. They just want him to work, show up, and then perform. And that's the kind of ability this kid probably has. But we keep hearing kind of different things about him.
Yeah, Bucky, he's one of those kids that I wonder, though, at what point does maybe he fall into the Jordan Shipley, Bo Scaife category of good player if we've got him, great, but can you really depend on him to be there? It just seems like every time you turn your head, there's some different setback, whether it's the knee, then it's the hamstring, then he gets the mumps and he's on the shelf for a few weeks. So those different things, they add up. I think there's no question. I think you hit the nail on the head. There's no question. Behind the scenes, I think they think Chris Warren could potentially be a special guy. And when I say special, I mean, you know, first, second round type talent in terms of just the natural athlete he is. I think they're, to a certain extent, they're going to kind of lower expectations publicly for Chris Warren.
Yep.
Because I think they want to get him on the field in pads before they really start talking him up as a guy that they think could be special. But I think behind the scenes, there's no question they feel he's got all the tools. It's just, can he afford these little nicks and dings and these setbacks that he's had that are keeping, you know, Bucky, if you look over his last six games that he's been on the field, he's averaging 125 yards a game the last six games where he's been on the field. The catch there is, can you get him on the field and keep him healthy over 12, 13 games for a full season? If you can, I think the production's going to be there. But if you can is becoming the big question with Chris Warren.
Appreciate it, Jeff. I know you got a busy day planned there at the coaches' convention. Appreciate a few minutes during breakfast, and we'll pick it up and talk to you when you get back, all right? Make it commonplace during camp.
Thanks, Jeff.
Absolutely, fellas. Appreciate it.
There's Jeff Howe, 24/7 Sports. Good, meaty football conversation on all things Texas. Tom Herman at the convention. Brandon Eagle is the latest recruit. And Tom Herman and camp opening on Monday. We'll be all over. We'll get a quick timeout. We come back, we'll get you a baseball trade deadline update. A lot of reports out this morning. What about Yu Darvish? What about Sonny Gray in Oakland? We'll get to all of it, plus salacious gossip and your blitz before the end of the hour. It's a blazing hot Tuesday in Austin. 104.9 AM 1260. Streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
B&E on a Tuesday. Glad you're with us. Good conversation with Jeff Howe and a lot of good response on that. Appreciate Jeff being with us from the coaches' convention. Here's a text we got. It says one of the best things you guys started doing on the station was having recruiting experts from different sites, from all the top sites, and that's true. I mean, that's one of the things about having a local content all day. Trey and BK have different guys on, Chad and Kevin every afternoon, and that comes with the diversity of the show. So, yeah, we love having different opinions and different thoughts, and Jeff is one of the best. Certainly we have great
He's been
partners.
Doing it for a long time, but he's very candid, and I like because he likes football himself, you know what I mean? He doesn't do it just as a job. He really
he's passionate looks at, about
yeah,
it,
he's
you can
passionate
tell.
About football.
Well,
yeah.
He's worked with Rod and those guys over at the other station for a long time, but I got to run into Jeff a bunch up at Big 12 Media Days, so we connected. I know Chad and Kevin have had him on a few times. We'll have him. I mean, we've got a great partnership with the guys at Orange Bloods, with Orange Bloods Radio 1-3, and we want as many opinions as we can on Texas football. There's not enough. How about this breaking news? We got two pieces of breaking news before we get to your baseball trade deadline update. First piece. Justin Bieber has canceled his remaining tour dates, Buck. Oh, yeah. And the only reason I mention it is he was supposed to start a 7-city leg in North America Saturday in Arlington at Jerry World. Canceled.
Oh.
BK, that was you.
I was going to that and then to see Ice Cube's 3-on-3 basketball league.
Were you really?
No, not the concert. Maybe the Ice Cube.
Not the concert.
Meet some teenage girls at that show.
Those girls are a little too young for
By the way,
liking.
Speaking of Ice Cube, I did see episode 2 last night. I'm totally into this this documentary that's on HBO. I don't even know how many parts it is. It's part 2 last night. I recorded them all. The Defiant Ones.
Oh, I need it. There's four
Dude,
parts, so you're,
four
you're
parts?
Halfway through.
All right, so I'm almost there. It is phenomenal. It's about Jimmy Iovine, the great record producer and music producer, and Dr. Dre. One on the East Coast, one on the West Coast, and they produced some of the biggest albums in the world. And obviously Dr. Dre and NWA began the West Coast hip-hop and rap scene, the gangster rap movement. But interesting, I mentioned that because why did I mention that?
Why?
What did you just say? BK?
Ice Cube.
Ice Cube.
Yeah, Ice Cube.
Basketball he's a part of
it. Yeah, that was part of last night. Ice Cube when when he left NWA.
Yeah.
And that caused a big rift. And it was, so, yeah, it's good. It's really, really well done. And if you love music and the, kind of the behind the scenes, the industry stuff, it's outstanding. But highly recommend that. Here's your other breaking news. We have a winner, Buck, of our B&E Major Golf Contest. The British Open is in. I should have done this earlier, but neglected it. I apologize. We told you, thanks to everybody who participated, every major. We'll do it again for the PGA Championship in a few weeks. Your pick threes, and we have a great prize pack that Bucky puts together and what we put together. We had our normal 200-300 of these entries for the British Open, and two of you knuckleheads had the picks of Jordan Spieth and Matt Kuchar.
Cooch.
So you had one and two, and that would be John Cody and a fellow named Travis Baker. Congratulations to John.
How did it come down?
Obviously, it comes down to that third golfer. Comes down to the third golfer and how much money they made. So if you have 1-2, it comes down to the third golfer.
Yes.
And I have to say congratulations to John Cody.
Oh, no.
His pick of John Rahm. Several spots higher than the pick of Dustin Johnson. John Rahm higher on the leaderboard than Dustin Johnson. And it's funny because I had to email Travis and say, which Johnson did you mean? Because he didn't put the name. It almost had to disqualify him.
Uh-oh.
Because had he picked Zach Johnson, he would have won.
Oh.
Because Zach Johnson finished 14th.
You emailed him after the tournament?
No, after the tournament was over, he told the truth?
He told the truth. I have to give this guy credit. I don't know if he looked at the leaderboard. I said, you have to be really honest. Tell me which Johnson you meant. And it,
he's
an idiot.
What an idiot!
No, I would have called him. I would have had to disqualify him anyway. I mean, if you send in the name, you got to have a first name.
Yes, of course.
Especially with something like Johnson. I mean, there's multiple
all kinds
Johnson.
Of Johnsons out there.
They're all out there with their Johnsons.
I know.
I mean, come on, man. Come
they
see
all
our
have Johnsons.
I know, man.
Big Magic Johnson. I mean, what the heck?
Big Magic Johnson. What
can't just put
got?
Any Johnson
so
down
Travis
there.
And John, thank you very much. You guys did a great job, but we're going to have to go with John. John Cody's the winner. He had Spieth, Kuchar, John Rahm.
Good job. Congratulations. And no females won?
Nope. No Lisa Ladwig this time around.
Wow.
Thank God, man.
Man, oh, man.
I don't even think
she...
can't
take another one of those.
I'm going to have to email. I don't think she even entered a contest.
Oh, she's won her one for a lifetime. She's got her one for a lifetime. She'll get into
We already hit our Title IX correspondence for the year by having one female winner.
Yes,
we have a new female show that's going to be highly rated. Got great reviews over its first episode. Last Saturday.
Did you say the word highly rated?
It's going to be.
Are we still getting investigated?
For?
The Texas Rangers, are they doing a Title IX deal
are they
here?
After us? What do you mean...
We just had the people telling us we love all the different opinions. We want various opinions of the local conversation.
No,
what
we don't.
Do on this.
Not really.
Yes, we do.
No, we don't. No. When did that come about all of a sudden?
We want those opinions? The station since we began, and now here we go. Hey, so, congratulations. And I would have had to disqualify Travis. You can't just write Johnson. Because Zach Johnson finished 14th. He had a good run. John Rahm finished ahead of Dustin Johnson, though. And Dustin Johnson's rough Sunday cost our man.
Oh, he did have a rough Sunday.
77 on Sunday?
77.
Started out with a double bogey,
just
I think.
Plummeted in the standings. So.
All right, the package can be picked up next week because I'm not coming back.
Yeah, Bucky's going to be out the next several days.
Bye.
We'll have great guest host. Monty Williams will be in. We'll have great guests there over the next several days. But Bucky's headed back east to see his mama.
Got to go see my mama.
Yo mama.
Yeah, I got to see her. Got to see my mama.
Gots to. Hey, real quick, let's run down some of the baseball trade deadline news. 6 days to the deadline on Monday. This, according to T.R. Sullivan of MLB.com, says the Texas Rangers are leaning towards keeping pitcher Yu Darvish. Is this a negotiation 101 or not? If the Dodgers are interested in giving up a couple of top prospects for Yu Darvish, I think you have to go there if you're the Texas Rangers. But I understand it's going to be tough for John Daniels to walk in that locker room and tell guys like Adrian Beltre that he's pulling the plug with 2 months to go, even though this team has been lousy the whole season.
Well, it's interesting you say that, E, because 25 minutes ago, a front page article on ESPN from Jerry Krasnick said the Rangers are ready to move ace pitcher Yu Darvish.
Ooh.
And sources say that John Daniels was calling suitors yesterday.
He's on the phones.
So, this is how it goes. You guys, of course, know. And they'll send reports from both sides. But who knows what's going to happen with this.
Yankees and Brewers appear to be the strongest contenders for A's starter Sonny Gray and put the Nationals in there as well. You realize that since last December, the Nationals and Athletics have made 11 separate trades together. 11 trades. What's the Nationals now that the Steven Strasburg injury is there? Sonny Gray is a name that could be out there. The Astros, what are they going to do? Are they looking reliever? The name Zach Britton has been mentioned, the you know, all-star closer of the Baltimore Orioles, but he's just coming off an elbow. You better really trust your medical team if you're going to make a move to go get Zach Britton. But I would say this, if you're an Astro fan, if Zach Britton is healthy and you can get him, oh my gosh, I mean, that's a game changer. That's Andrew Miller part two from a year ago. That's Aroldis Chapman. That's a guy who's converted 55 straight save opportunities for the Baltimore Orioles, and he's pitches from the left side. So it would give you, you know, he and Ken Giles, along with Chris Devensky, and, you know, Will Harris is coming back off the DL here shortly. And also one of the things the Astros have done is put the young right-hander Francis Martez into the bullpen. They think the 21-year-old can bring that stuff out of the pen and get you three outs in a big spot. And you know, they've got the power arms to do it, something they didn't have in the past, which will relieve all Astro fans when guys like Chris, you know, Luke Gregerson are not coming out of the bullpen. You're going with better. But to keep an eye on that, doesn't appear the Astros are going to be in the starting pitcher market right now, but maybe bolster that bullpen as much as they can between now and Monday's trade deadline. So we'll keep an eye. We'll give you that update each morning of who's where. So Jerry Krasnick says it's going the other way, that Yu Darvish. And you have to, because when Clayton Kershaw is out 4 to 6 weeks, think about that. You know, the Astros are dealing with that with Carlos Correa. He's out 4 to 6 weeks. He'll be back early to mid-September. He'll be ready to go for the playoffs. But you're talking about Kershaw coming back in September, and then he's got to go get a couple rehabs in. You want him to be as sharp as possible. This is a Dodger team, much like the Astros. It feels like they need to be winning the World Series this year. As great of a season they're having, the lineup has been unbelievable since they brought Cody Bellinger up. Do they go acquire a Yu Darvish to give you a Clayton Kershaw, Yu Darvish combination atop your rotation with Kenley Jansen closing the games? That would be pretty wicked. I mean, that would be a tough thing. And again, but if you're the Rangers looking big picture, can you get two or three top prospects? I think you have to do it, because there's no guarantee Yu's coming back next year, and there certainly is no guarantee that this Ranger team is postseason bound.
I would go mess with the Boston Red Sox. Once Beltran gets his once he gets his 3,000 hit, I put him on the market, send him to Boston, get some of the young players that they have in Boston right now, because their farm system is really, really hot right now. They've got some up-and-coming guys that can absolutely – I mean, they're all-around players now in Boston. Get him there, third base in Fenway Park for a couple years. –
I mean, listen, you're talking – I'm the guy who's the Astro fan who doesn't want to see Adrian Beltre with Boston, and I certainly don't want to see Yu Darvish for the Dodgers, because I think the Astros have a chance to be in that conversation big picture. Yeah, I don't want Adrian Beltre in the middle of that Red Sox order. I mean, that would be
– With the monster there?
I mean, the Red Sox are a good team. That could make them a potentially great team. If they had that and then Rick Porcello starts pitching better, that's a nightmare, because that lineup is already deep, a bunch of scrappy – you know,
slappies all over the place.
Just really good hitters, yes. Productive hitters.
Speed.
Well, what they're lacking is that thunder that David Ortiz brought and that leadership that David Ortiz brought. All Ranger fans know if Adrian Beltre walked into that locker room, there'd be some leadership. Now,
and you'd like that. And I think the Rangers would like that for what they can get from the Red Sox.
Yeah,
BK would be willing to give him up. Let him get his 3,000 right there, right, BK?
It's not going to happen.
He needs seven.
They won't trade Beltre. I mean, they're not going to completely fire sale this thing to where next year they're going to mortgage what they have coming back next year. But interesting you say Boston, because Beltre did spend 1 year in Boston and had a career-high 49 doubles, also over 100 RBIs.
The wall.
One year in Beantown.
Well, he would be awesome. I mean, but look, I mean, if I'm the Rangers, I'm looking big picture. I'm not looking this year.
Yes.
I know that's hard to sell to your fans and certainly your locker room. But what's the long-term position for Joey Gallo? Probably going to be a third baseman, right? I mean, he's probably a third baseman. Well, if you move Adrian Beltre, you now have a spot open for Joey Gallo to play, third base and kind of grow into the position you project him at, to go with Rougned Odor and Elvis Andrus on your infield. And then you go find a first baseman to replace Mike Napoli, big picture, Nomar Mazara, build around those guys. But I understand.
Is Joey Gallo just going to be a good player for the remainder of his career?
Well,
he's going to
cut
be a great
down
player?
On the strikeouts. I mean, he is right now. He's Adam Dunn. I mean, he's going to hit 30 or 40 home runs, but he's going to bat 200.
Sure.
And, you know, the strikeouts, the inconsistency there, that's going to, you know, I mean, that's been the problem for the Rangers offensively this year, is their strikeouts.
That hampers him from being a great player.
Yeah. I mean, but can he become a 260 hitter with those home runs will become the question. Joey Gallo's still very, very young. He came in with that class of, you know, Bryce Harper and these great young players. But we'll see. All right, B&E on the horn, we'll take your thoughts. There's the report from Jerry Krasnick. ESPN says that they're ready to move with Yu Darvish. Another report, T.R. Sullivan saying, nope, they're going to stick with him. That's the beauty of the trade deadline 6 days away. Coming back, salacious gossip, your blitz at 447-3776. We'll reset all the headlines as well after the top of the hour, rolling on a Tuesday.
Where you get that from? Did someone tell you that? Because I ain't for no games, okay?
Salacious Gossip brought to you by Bud Lights. Hope it's a great Bud Light day for you, whatever you're doing. Be smart, be safe. Get somewhere to where there's water.
Be hot. Be hot.
And this is not gossip, but I'm telling you, I've seen thunderstorms. I saw a house catch on fire with lightning strikes, yet I'm not getting any of this rain. What is happening? I get some of that rain?
2 days, I could see it. I could hear the thunder. Not one drop of rain.
Tease.
Mother Nature's a tease. Badly.
You know what else is unfortunate? Our man Lucky Whitehead in Dallas, his days are over. Cowboys have cut the wide receiver after cops in Virginia claimed he was arrested for shoplifting back in June, then missed a July court date. Here's the deal, though. Even TMZ, who reported the story initially, they're having second thoughts. They're talking with his agent saying, wait a second, did we get this wrong?
Wait a minute, not TMZ.
Yeah, TMZ has even said.
No.
This is from TMZ. It says, we spoke with his agent, Dave Rich, who says Whitehead didn't fly into Virginia until 6 hours after the reported time of the arrest. And so TMZ says they're looking into the situation. Did they jump the gun?
Were they the ones who reported this?
Yes.
No TMZ. Way. They don't do that.
Yeah, they did.
No. Couldn't be TMZ.
Yeah. TMZ reported that. Hey, you got to go find this video. BK, we got to get this out to the people on the show of the people. The video of the dude at Starbucks knocking out the robber. So guy's sitting at Starbucks. I'll show you this in a break, Buck. It's awesome. Guy's sitting at the Starbucks.
Mm-hmm.
Dude walks in with a bag, and he holds a pistol up to the he's trying to rob the Starbucks, right, of the cash. So this guy who's sitting there, this older dude who's watching, guy puts his gun into his pocket for a second while he's trying to get this lady to load up the cash, and he comes from behind him with one of those big Starbucks chairs and just wallops him.
Oh, those metal chairs?
Yeah, man, just whacks him in his back, and then they went to fighting, and it was on, and he ended up beating that dude down. I got to give that guy mad props. I don't even know his name.
He's
going to
get Starbucks
awesome.
For life. Double tall caramel macchiato
he
for
should.
Life.
He should. Yes. The cops there say, hey, don't take the law into your own hand. Just call the police. But that dude beat that dude up. We'll get that video out for you on social media so you can see it if you haven't. And speaking of social media, I just have to say this. I don't, you know, A-Rod was always one of my least favorite players when he was a Ranger, then a Yankee, almost a Red Sox. I wasn't an A-Rod fan. I just have to say, he and a J-Lo celebrated J-Lo's 48th birthday over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Can I just show you a picture of what J-Lo wore out, the dress she wore?
You and J-Lo, man. You got some... She can't wear that out.
What do you mean?
That just stopped you in your tracks.
Whoa.
She can't wear that out in public.
They went dancing in that.
She went dancing in that getup?
Yeah. Yeah, and she actually tweeted it out. He was in a nice royal blue suit. And yeah, it says, stepping into my birthday week.
I guess he can't tell her that's not appropriate to wear because she'll look at him and say, next. Next.
I'm going to retweet this, too, from the account of at JLo. Okay? You like that dress?
No, that's skanky.
What do you mean?
That's skanky. That's a skanky outfit. No, I wouldn't like it.
Come on, man.
No. It's her birthday.
It's a great
she's,
look.
She's 48.
It's a terrible look.
There's some fashion to that.
Dude, there ain't nothing to that, but some Levi's have put some leaves.
That's the point.
It covers the important things for the most part.
For gravy. That's
gotta,
for me to see. That's not for everybody else to see and gawk
give
at.
Give A-Rod some props, man. He's nice.
How is she 48?
I know.
God.
Jenny from the block. Let's go to your Blitz.
The Bucky and E Blitz.
The Morning Blitz brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck, the half under factory warranty, in any make, any model. Click appleleasing.com and see how easy it is.
I have to say to her, Jenny, we have to have a talk.
Bye.
Bye. No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. First Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, Bucky, man. I got tired after disc golfing yesterday, too. Of course. My dog got off the rope, and I had to chase him down. That might be part of it.
That probably is. Don't lose that six-pack or that Bud Light, whatever you do, though. Next Blitzer, you're up.
There's no way in heck A-Rod's telling J-Lo what to wear. No way. He's intimidated by her.
Well, who wouldn't be?
Yeah, I guess. She's
in pretty good shape for her age. You know what I'm saying? Like, she keeps herself fit.
She looked all right in that little blue suit, though.
What was the name of when she was on that show?
In Living Color.
In Living Color. She was a fly girl back in the day.
She had some beef back in that day, too.
That's something to my fly, I can tell you that.
Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, Miguel.
See.
You, for being a European, have a knack for pronouncing things in an American way. It's pronounced Blanco, it's pronounced Del Valle, it's pronounced Blanco, it's pronounced the Green Gruna.
Okay.
Blanco. Blanco.
For me
don't say
European.
Blanco, say Blanco.
Blanco, I'm sorry about that. I'm very, very sorry. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, yeah, that Lucky Whitehead, he got caught stealing them Black and Mild. That's why it was $200. Must have been a case.
What about cigarettes?
Black and Mild or Swisher Sweets, baby.
I mean, Swisher Sweets.
The cigars.
I love when a guy comes into my little convenience store there at Cedar Valley and says, can I have a little pack of those Swisher Sweets? I have to look at him.
Swisher Sweet. Swisher Sweet.
Oh, boy.
Well, you know what he's using those for, right?
Taking out the other tobacco and
there
sticking in the
go.
Other stuff,
there
I guess. Yeah.
Well, this will be interesting because TMZ, he's like Adam Schefter, man, rarely wrong. If they got this wrong and he got cut, can he double back and sue TMZ? Because the Cowboys.
You can never sue TMZ.
Why not?
The Inquirer, the Post.
Cost the dude his gig.
The New York Times. You can't mess with TMZ.
Cost that dude his gig.
Cost him his gig.
He got cut like minutes after the report came out.
It was either going to happen yesterday or a week
Doesn't
from now.
Matter, though. For the lawsuit, they don't know that.
It's true.
He could say, I didn't get my chance to compete for the position.
Because he wasn't coming back.
To your faulty reporting.
Because he wasn't coming back.
Fake news.
That was fake news.
We'll be back, B&E on the Horn. We will pick up the headlines, all the fun, in the final hour on a Tuesday.